The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by Fulfill.io, the ERP built natively for e-commerce sellers. Fulfill streamlines the complexity in your business to save you time and money. From smart order routing to warehouse management, accounting to inventory tracking, they take all of your complexity and all the things that take a lot of time and manual effort and streamline them under one unified tool. Their clients range from seven-figure brands all the way through companies doing hundreds of millions of dollars per year so they can grow and scale with you. And they're the highest rated ERP in our community of private sellers, according to member reviews, scoring higher than Odoo, Skubana, Brightpearl, and yes, even NetSuite. Actually scored quite a bit higher than NetSuite. So if you want to streamline the complexity in your business, check them out at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. The E-Commerce Fuel Podcast is brought to you by OneClick Upsell, the most popular, largest upsell app in the Shopify marketplace, trusted by over 11,000 users, over 1,900 of those big spending Shopify Plus stores, and they've generated over $200 million in revenue for the merchants that use them. And you may be thinking, oh, hey, Andrew, I've heard of OneClick Upsell. I know these guys, but do you really? Do you know what they've rolled out recently? They've got some cool new stuff for their pre-purchase and their post-purchase upsells. You can now select from multiple different offers to present your customers. So instead of having them just have to pick from one single thing, you can give them the option to pick from multiple upsells, which helps and has proven to increase the number of people who actually take you up on those upsells. So if you're not using upsells in your store, it's an amazingly easy, fast way to increase your average order value and your revenues. So check them out at ecommercefuel.com/upsell. Hey, it's Andrew here, and welcome to the E-Commerce Fuel Podcast, the show dedicated to helping seven and eight figure e-commerce brand owners build incredible businesses and amazing lives. And we have something in our community on the member directory, kind of shows the top new members that have kind of joined recently. And I was in there recently, and on the right-hand side there, I saw Dahlia's name pop up, who's our guest today, and reminded me because I've been seeing her in the forums a lot over the last 2-4 months, just engaging, adding value, being an incredible member. And I thought, you know, I've never chatted with her. I would love to get to know her. And so for no other reason than she's just been an incredible community member, wanted to get her on the podcast and learn more about her, learn what she's doing in e-commerce, and kind of understand her journey and see what she'd have to say. So I'm super excited to welcome Dahlia Rojas to the show. She's the owner and founder of the owner of 6061.com. So Dahlia, welcome. Good to have you.
Thank you for having me. It's such an honor to be here.
Yeah. And thanks for being such an amazing member. I figured we could start with, so 6061, can you give people a kind of an idea? What is it? What do you sell? What's the business do?
Well, 6061 is a brand and a website. We sell motorcycle parts and accessories. We sell a couple of other little things like power sports, a little bit of ski lighting, just a little bit. But most of it is dedicated to motorcycles.
Okay. So reseller stuff, but you also have your own brand of exhausts and things like that that you have manufactured.
Yes, we sell Voodoo and GPR exhaust, but then everything else on the website is either ours and a couple of other little brands that we sell to.
So do you have a motorcycle?
No, I actually get that question a lot. No, I don't have one. Maybe in the future.
How did you find 6061 and why did you buy it?
Well, I guess even though I've always worked in programming, IT, you know, business analysis, that kind of field, I had always been, you know, an e-commerce person on the side. And I would say, you know, I was buying and selling when I was in like fourth grade. So to me, I just was always a business person, like an entrepreneur at heart, even though I worked in cybersecurity and IT. And, you know, and I think that that's why I just didn't like that field. It was just not meeting my personality. So the reason why I decided to buy this business is because I had been looking for a business all along. You know, I had, you know, always thought that I would move into some kind of business and be an entrepreneur because I, you know, that's what I kind of did on the side, like side hustles. So I looked up a broker. You know, he was the husband of a coworker, which he recommended, you know, one of the places where I worked. And we just started looking at businesses, seeing what was out on the market, and then just kind of learning as far as like what would be something good to buy. And so I looked at a bunch of businesses, actually. It was actually very interesting and just kind of learned to see what was good and not good until I kind of ran into 6061. And, you know, I was able to, I would say, like, pass the interview process, because it is kind of like an interview process, because you're purchasing somebody's baby. And so I was able to show the business owners that, you know, I would be able to take care of their baby. And so they, you know, we decided to go ahead with the purchase. And I did it. and that's actually like a long story short. Like, it's a lot more complicated than that.
And we don't need to get into like the deal terms or, you know, the process or anything, but what was it about the business itself that made you want to buy? Like, you looked at a lot of other businesses. What were the attributes of this business of motorcycle, you know, exhaust and things like that, that made you excited about it?
Well, I guess, you know, when they showed me the website, because I kind of thought that I wanted to be more into e-commerce because I had that technical background. And, you know, this business was just, it was awful. It was not, I guess the website was awful. It was just bad. And, but they were selling. And when I found out that, you know, they were an actual brand and that people were talking about them and they had like a following. And that's what I was looking for, you know, something that I could buy, fix up with my knowledge and make it better. And there had been some other businesses too, but it's just that this one really stood out. Like I just needed to fix this one. And when I saw it, I just immediately felt like, hey, I can do this. Let's go ahead.
Yeah. So two things. One, it was an actual branded product. So it was in-house brand that had a decent reputation, it sounded mm-hmm. like, in the broader community. And two, there's a lot of technical improvements you can make to the website, et cetera.
Yes. The website kind of looked like Amazon early on, just a bunch of links and really long pages, you know, lots of scrolling. And when I saw it, I thought, oh my goodness, like I can easily fix this up.
And what year did you buy it?
It was about 7 years ago now. So it's been, yeah. So I guess right now, mine is 7 years.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. We're going to get into your brand here in a minute, 6061, which is also a brand. But you have an exclusive distributorship to North America, which I think like it's from a brand, which you can tell us here in just a minute, from Italy that does exhaust. And that just seems an incredibly valuable thing to have, to be able to be an exclusive distributor, because it solves so many problems that many of us face in terms of competition and having to fighting with other people and undercutting on price, et cetera, and margin erosion, et cetera. So how did you, first off, is it as you know, amazing as it sounds from the outside looking in? And then B, how did you get that?
Well, I guess I saw their products on the internet and I thought, oh, this is a cool product. You know, they do some really nice stuff. Their prices were adequate, you know, for the value that they provide the customer. They were just a great product. And I read the reviews, you know, customers love them. So I decided to bring them on, you know, and just, you know, also distribute their products to my customers. Customers loved them. And so I guess I just did it well. You know, I emailed their customer service person. I developed a really good person, the relationship with that person, you know, like, hey, how are you? Like, how's your family? And so I got to know the owner too by email. And so they started trusting me. And I guess that I would ask a lot of questions. I would just, you know, and I became good at describing their product and understanding their product, probably more than others. So they really trusted me. And then they offered me that distributorship. And I gladly took it on because they're just great guys. And so I knew that my customers would be taken care of, and then I would be able to take care of their customers as well.
Oh, so there's other people, you were bringing in something in the US, there's other people doing that as well, but they pretty much said you did a good enough job with them where they pretty much said, we're only going to sell through you. All the other people in the US, that, of which I'm guessing there were some, they cut them off and you were the only person?
No, they haven't really cut anybody else off. They still continue, but I am like the exclusive one. So anybody that comes on from now on, or not from now on, because I've had them on for many years, they have to go through us to really, you know, buy, you know, on a wholesale basis if they want.
Okay. So but prior to that, had they been selling in the United States through anyone else?
Yes, they do sell, or they have sold mostly through some other sellers that sell within the United States, but the other sellers, I believe they're not located within the United States.
Okay. So, but if they're shipping product to the United States, it's going to you, and then either you sell it directly or you sell it wholesale to the other retailers.
Correct. That's correct.
Got it. Okay. Did you make any enemies is maybe a strong word. Did you have to deal with any fallout from other people in the market who were annoyed that all of a sudden you had this exclusive relationship with the manufacturer?
Well, no, I don't think I've heard of that yet. No, I know that we have had some other guys that come on and say like, hey, can we have the exclusivity? And we'll be like, no, we already have it. So I wouldn't say they're enemies, maybe a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, or other guys might be bigger guys. Oh, why'd you give it to her? and they'll just say, look, Dahlia's great. I don't want to like toot my own horn, but like Dahlia's already handling it. So it's already taken care of. So if you want to pursue and also sell them, talk to Dahlia.
That's great. And I mean, you mentioned manufacturer relationships are something you've done really well. And this one sounds like, you know, the amazing relationship with them led to the exclusive distributorship. How else has manufacturing relationships, like really strong relationships with your manufacturing partners, like how else do you build those, and how are those an asset for you? Because you do a really good job of those.
Oh, I guess the best part is, you know, whenever they're introducing new products, they call me up directly and they actually tell me, hey, Dahlia, like we really, really want you to distribute these products. Can you put them on your website? Can you show them to the customers? And then I just say like, hey, well, yeah, let me know. You know, what do you want me to do? What's it called? What are you doing? And so they tell me all about it. But the nicest part is that they call me up directly and we talk about it, you know, rather than me finding out through like an email or something like that. It's nice to have that personal touch.
Yeah. Have you visited all of your suppliers, I'm guessing?
Not all of them, no, but I really want to do that. So yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And apart from any suggestions on how to build a really great, like obviously, you know, you mentioned getting to know people on a personal level and communication and stuff like that. Is there anything else you do that you think makes you stand out in that field on a relational basis against your competitors? Like, what are some of the other things you're doing to really cement those relationships with your suppliers that your competition isn't?
I would just say just maintaining that contact and just being flexible with them too. So, and keeping them involved. And that's what they tell me. And what they give me feedback on that. And they would say, oh, Dahlia, like we love that about you, that we can just pick up the phone and talk to you. So like, for example, they might say, oh, well, you know, we might have some other guys who, you know, are huge, you know, maybe they're major distributors, but who can talk to them? So, you know, we don't want to, you know, talk to a machine or talk to a robot. Nobody picks up the phone. So Dahlia, we just call you and you talk to us. So I think that that's the best part, and that's what they appreciate.
And how do you market these products? Are they so, like, how do you market the business?
Well, crazy enough, most of it right now is search engine optimization and word of mouth, you know, and I think that that's one of the things that we definitely need to work on is working more on like PPC campaigns. But right now, like that's been good. I do get a lot of customer feedback saying like, hey, my buddy told me that I had to call you or email you or just go to your website. So a lot of it is that. It's word of mouth. We also get a lot of racers. So the racers, you know, put our stickers on their bikes or something like that. And then, you know, other people see us that way. And, you know, and they say that. They say, hey, well, I saw yours. So my buddy has your sticker on his bike. So, and I know that sounds super funny, but that's what they like. That's what our customers appreciate.
What would you say the split is? And I realize I'm asking kind of a very approximate question, but word of mouth versus Google, like what would you say the split is in terms of what percentage drives both of those?
I wouldn't know, but I know that word of mouth is very high.
Would you say, is it more than half of your business?
Maybe about half. It's
wow.
Probably about half, and we do get a lot of people that say, hey, and because I ask them, or, you know, when I do answer the phones, hey, how'd you hear about us? Oh, I looked you up on Google. So, but like I said, and I would say maybe half and half split.
Got it. Okay. And how has the last year been? I mean, because it's paid, you don't have to necessarily worry about paid advertising as much, and some people are still doing well with it, but it's been a rough year on paid for a lot of folks. It's also been a softening economy and spending. How's the business been for you in general in terms of growth over the last, like, you know, the last 6 or 12 months year over year? Is it kind of steady, up, down?
Well, I think we're doing good because we're steady. I think that we're slightly higher, but the numbers for the year haven't been finished yet. So, but I have a feeling it's slightly higher. These past couple of months, I think that they're stable, probably about the same as last year, just from the orders that I see that are coming in. So I think that, you know, based on what I'm hearing others going through, we're good. We're in a good position. So, but I think that that's mainly because, you know, our word of mouth and our, you know, our customers, they just always come back.
Yeah, do you have a pretty high repeat customer rate then too?
We do. Yeah, we do. We see a lot of them. Yeah. And then if not, it's like my neighbor, my friend, my buddy, my son, you know, so yeah.
You sell on Amazon.com as well, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. And how's that, what's your split look like between your .com and Amazon?
I would say the Amazon is bigger than our website, yes, but it does come with a lot of troubles, a lot of headaches. So it's not an easy platform to deal with. I wish we could reduce it, but I think we're just going to kind of maintain it for now.
Yeah. Have you seen any big changes over the last 6 months in terms of either competition or more people trying to, you know, kind of move in on your listings or just general? Has you noticed any big changes in just the general competitive environment on Amazon over the last 6 months?
I would actually say that competitors are actually decreasing, but it's also because I think that we're getting smarter at it. So maybe it's just we're getting better while they're being stable. So I've actually kind of been able to understand more on how PPC works on Amazon, and that's been very helpful. So I would say we're doing pretty good. We do pretty good, you know, in despite of all the challenges on Amazon.
What kind of thing, you said you're getting smarter? What kind of new things are you doing on Amazon that are helping out?
I guess I got really, like I said, I got really good at PPC and understanding what was going on there. And then just making sure that like all keywords, just very specific rather than just kind of throwing money out the window at everything. And so that really helped pick up those sales on Amazon and helping customer find our products.
And you sell a lot on eBay and Walmart too, right? Mm-hmm. Which are two channels, which I think most people, especially eBay, I think a lot of people look at eBay, and maybe automotive is a little bit of an outlier because it's I still think there's a decent amount of automotive that takes place on eBay. But yeah, are those any, you know, kind of any tips for making eBay and Walmart work well? Because I'm guessing most people are not on those platforms. Maybe it's not a good fit for a lot of them, but for those who might and haven't got into there yet, any tips for making those platforms work well?
Well, I think it does depend on the fit, yes, because I do have friends who sell other types of products and they haven't been able to make eBay work for them. So it does depend on the competition. I would say you have to differentiate yourself on eBay, but also be able to understand search engine optimization and how eBay works with their algorithms. And I think that that's why I've been able to be successful on eBay as well, because I'm able to bring in that technical background and understand how their servers find the products. So I think that others don't really have that understanding. So I basically make sure that we list our products based on what eBay is looking for. And that I think that's the toughest part. Walmart, we don't really sell too much on Walmart, probably maybe just like a few orders a week. And the reason for that is because Walmart is just even more difficult than Amazon. And so it's just very rudimentary and it's not very advanced yet. It's like they're still in the baby stage. So I try not to work on there too much because there really is no communication with the customers. And I really want to have that communication.
Hey, it's Andrew here with a quick aside. And you obviously love e-commerce. You're interested in that. And so I wanted to make sure you're aware of the private community we have at E-Commerce Fuel for 7- and 8-figure e-commerce brand owners. And it's something we've been building for close to a decade now with over 1,100 members across the globe. And our secret sauce, like the name implies, is that everyone inside has deep experience doing this with an owner mindset. And so what does that mean? It means you get, when you log onto our form, you get fast, on-point answers to your most pressing questions, regardless of whether that's you're negotiating a new lease for a warehouse, or maybe you're negotiating with UPS or USPS or FedEx about shipping rates or pickup times, or potentially you're just looking to find a great outsourcer, or wondering if you can even outsource your content. Is that something anyone has had success with? You can tap into this huge knowledge and brain trust across the globe and get answers within hours, sometimes even minutes. So it's an incredibly active forum with experienced people. You get to plug into an amazing network worldwide. A lot of our members, when they travel, if they touch down in Dallas or Sydney or London or Bozeman, Montana or whatever it is. Oftentimes they'll reach out to other ECF members, you know, obviously a little harder to do potentially right now, but and see if, you know, they want to get together for a beer to connect and just, and oftentimes get to know a new friend. So it's an amazing network, as well as invites to our member only events like ECF Live, which is our annual summit gathering for about 200 people. And then finally, the intelligence in our community just that's shared helps you avoid making really costly hiring and software mistakes. So our members write reviews on what they're using, their software tools, their agencies, completely unbiased, completely from their own experience. And so you can avoid making that, you know, hiring that agency that's an absolute nightmare, but you don't know about it. Or you can hone in on the one that actually does a really good job. It saves you a ton of time and money from bad hiring and software decisions. So if any of this sounds interesting, head on over to ecommercefuel.com and you can learn more about the community, what's included, and apply for membership as well. All right, let's go ahead and jump back in to the discussion. So the 6061 brand that you have or that you purchased, so are those made mostly exhaust products, I'm guessing?
No, it's a lot of lighting. It's a lot of exhaust. We do a lot of chains, sprockets, levers, different parts for the motorcycle, grips, bar ends. I might be getting too technical, but yeah, different accessories that somebody might put on their motorcycle. And there are also accessories that kind of, I don't want to, you know, say, maybe pretty it up, if that's the right word, so customers can show off their motorcycle. So we get a lot of customers who are preparing, for example, for an exposition, like a show, and they need to have their motorcycle looking a certain way. And so we help those customers a lot. We also get a lot of the racers. A lot of big racers in the United States call us and say, like, hey, like, I need one of your exhausts. And then we give them an exhaust, or we give them whatever else they need for their race.
Did you just launch a new website recently?
No, we do have another website, which is our GPR Exhaust Systems website. I would say it's not recent, maybe in the last 4 or 5 years. It is a younger website, yes. And it is where we distribute the GPR exhausts.
So how many manufacturing partners do you work with just for the 6061 brand?
Oh my goodness. Probably about 15, 20.
Okay.
Yeah. I haven't really counted them up, but it's probably something like that.
And you're ordering directly from them. So you're placing POs directly with 15 or 20 different manufacturers.
Yes.
Got it. How do you finance the business? Are you doing it based on cash flow? Do you have loans or lines of credit, or how do you finance those POs?
Oh, it's all cash flow. Yeah, we don't have any loans.
You've never had to take loans for placing purchase orders?
No, it's all cash flow. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really impressive.
Yeah, the only loan we ever took was to purchase the business, and then we paid it off.
Yeah. And was it an SBA loan?
Yes, it was an SBA loan.
Got it. So how do you do like product development and bringing new products? Do you bring them? Are these mostly manufacturers that have had a product line and you're private labeling some of their existing designs? Or do you actually kind of iterate back and forth with them to bring new products to market?
We do a little bit of both. Yeah. So I guess, how do we do it? So I start hearing from the customer. So it's a lot of customer feedback, and they start saying, oh, I want this, I want that, I want a mix of two colors. You know, it's, or they'll say like, hey, I want this in chrome. So it's a lot of talking to the customers and understanding what they want, and also kind of seeing the trends. Every once in a while, you know, maybe a couple times a year, I'll say, hey, let me see what other people are doing. Or, you know, from the trade show, hey, I noticed this, I noticed that. And then I try to bring that in-house and do product development on it and start talking to the manufacturers.
Do you have something that manages the back end for you in terms of order routing, or in terms of dealing with orders that come in and stock where it is? Or is that a manual process? How do you deal with all that?
Oh my goodness, that's something that we will be working on. Right now, it's purely manual. Even though we do have ShipStation, we use ShipStation to do the orders and to kind of tie everything together from all the different places that we're shipping to, or we're gathering the orders from. But other than that, it's a manual process. We will be working on that over the next few years.
Nice. Have you taken a look at Duoplane by chance?
I can certainly look into it. I guess I'm not there yet in our business right now, because I've been focusing on other areas, but I can certainly look at that.
Kind of last question here for you, but what is it? I heard you speak to this on a previous podcast you'd done when I was doing some digging. But what's it been like being a female in a very male dominated industry? I'm guessing, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm guessing probably 90% of people of your customers are male. What's that been like?
It's actually interesting, and I wouldn't say it's negative, but I guess I do get customers that call up and say, like, hey, I want to talk to the manager. And then I say, well, I am the manager. Oh, okay, so let me talk to the owner. Like, no, I am the owner. And then, oh, I'm so sorry. And then I'll just say, hey, like, is there something wrong with that? Tell me if there's something wrong with it. And it always kind of just, I feel like it's like a double take for them. And then they kind of backtrack a little bit and say like, oh, no, I'm so sorry. There's nothing wrong with it. But, all right. But I can definitely hear it in their voices as far as like the level of surprise. And then they're always surprised at the knowledge, you know, because I can be really specific about parts measurements for specific make models and years. And they get really surprised that I have that kind of knowledge. So I would say that that's the part that kind of hits me the most, that, you know, like, hey, like, why can't I know that? Like, what's wrong with me knowing that? So I think I've gotten used to it, but at the same time, it still kind of surprises me.
Yeah. How much work, I mean, you mentioned the make models and years being in the automotive industry before. It is a lot of work sometimes to understand what fits on what, just given the massive number of different SKUs. It's crazy. Yeah. So how do you do that? Do you leverage any technology? Do you just happen to know off the top of your head and kind of list it down? Like, do you have any process or tech that helps you, or especially helps a customer? Like right now I'm looking at Honda brake and clutch levers, adjustable sliding folding levers going on here. And you've got all the models listed below. Uh-huh. But what's the best way to solve that? And have you found any good tech that helps with that? Because that's a big issue.
I would say we're just really organized about keeping that in like reference spreadsheets. And if we don't have it, then the distributors have it. So it's all, we can reference it somewhere. And then after a while, yeah, it is in the top of my head. So because after the years, like I just pretty much know like what fits what based on, you know, just helping my customers.
Cool. Well, thanks for letting us dive into your business and hear the story. It's very cool. I'd love to do a lightning round with you before we wrap up here. So if you're up for it, I'm going to throw some questions at it. Yeah, give me just a couple word answers on them, or a sentence or two. How would you describe the e-commerce environment in 2 to 3 words right now?
Stable, very stable. I know that it's difficult for others, and it is getting a little bit more difficult, but if you can just keep your eyes out and see what the changes are, you'll be all right.
What's one of the fondest memories from your childhood?
Riding my bike with my friends, and they're still my friends. And if they're hearing this, they'll know who they are.
Oh, that's pretty cool. You've kept in touch with childhood friends from
it's wonderful. Yeah, I can count on my friends from when I was like 10 years old.
How did that happen? Because you grew up in the same place your whole life, or because you've made a really intentional effort over the years to keep in touch? How's that happened?
No, I think that we've just always hit it off and we've always kept in touch. We don't really live close to each other anymore, but we know that we can always count on each other. So I wouldn't know. I think that they're just great people.
Yeah, I believe you live in Florida. If you weren't living in Florida, where would you live now?
South America, probably. I'm not sure I could do this business from South America, but I'm sure that I would probably be doing something else instead, you know, something on entrepreneurial instead.
Anywhere specifically in South America?
Colombia with my family.
What's the hardest part of your business?
Inventory. Definitely.
How much money in the bank is enough? So this is either money or stocks, or just like how much money is, if money or stocks are just liquid net worth, that if you had that much, if you made some more in the future, that'd be great, it'd be nice. But if you didn't, you'd be okay too. What's the number for you?
Well, I would say more like net worth. Net worth would probably be like 3 million, because then, you know, you could probably put that into houses or something like that, rental properties, and then live with that.
How many hours a week do you work?
Oh my, I would say 20, 25, maybe 30. It's not too bad. Not like before. Yeah, not like cybersecurity.
How many hours were you working at cybersecurity?
Oh, 40, 50, but they were pushing for 70, 80.
Number one hobby, and you can't say work.
Riding my bike. I love riding my bike. It's like my baby.
What kind of bike do you have?
Oh, it's just a regular Trek bike.
But just love getting out on it.
Nice. Yeah, I just love feeling the wind in my hair.
And then finally, who's one of the most interesting people you've met through e-commerce fuel?
Oh my goodness. No, I'll have to say like Sonia Roselli, she is incredible. She sells skincare products and she's always talking about like her next steps and she's getting a lot of advice from the team and the other UCF members. So I love hearing where she's taking her business and I am totally following her. So I want to grow up to be her.
shout out to Sonia. It's been great having you in the forums. Well, Dahlia, thank you so much. 6061.com is the website. If you want to go check it out, if you happen to have a bike or a motorcycle and want to get it all decked out, that's the place to go. So Dahlia, it's been wonderful having you in the community. Thank you so much for just being a part of it, being so active and everything you've given back. And this was super fun. Thanks for coming on and doing this.
Thank you for having me. It was quite the honor.
Given you've made it to the end of the episode, there's a pretty good chance you're fairly serious about this e-commerce stuff, which is why you should check out the e-commerce fuel community. It's a vetted, vibrant community for 7- and 8-figure brand owners. And joining gives you access to a lively discussion forum for experienced founders sharing insights and getting help. Access to our library of over 20,000 member reviews on everything from agencies to tech to lawyers to all the things that you know founders are making hiring decisions or purchasing decisions on to run their business, and invites to member events throughout the year. So if that sounds interesting, you can apply for membership and learn more at ecommercefuel.com. Big thanks to OneClick Upsell from Zipify Apps. Rapidly increase your AOV by offering targeted high converting upsells. You can get started with them at ecommercefuel.com/upsell and also to fulfill.io, an ERP designed specifically to streamline complex e-commerce businesses and the highest rated ERP among our community members. Learn more at ecommercefuel.com/fulfill. Thanks so much for listening. Work hard, adventure often, and I'm looking forward to seeing you again next Friday.
This is the ASY Radio Network live from New York.